buffalo tips. I wash it all down with a mousse. You pat your tummy and smack your lips. Suck for hours on your fingertips.
Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel. This is the movie podcast where we're talking sequels, and we do it in two parts. The first, an interview with an actor or someone involved that made the film worth watching. And the second, a discussion of the sequel, what they got right, what they got wrong, and how it could have been better. Hope you enjoyed last week's interview with Lene Curtis. Oh my God, what a so much fun. There was things that covered that I never thought I'd hear or discuss, but hearing about, you know, the way she landed the role in 16 Candles, we talked John Hughes, her friendship early on, you know, working with Robert Downey Jr. on one of both of their early movies. And we covered a lot of different things too, even maybe possible haunted houses. So we covered it all. And what was amazing is, like, we always say this, like, we love talking to everybody, but it's always interesting to talk to the person that's in most of the scenes in the movie. And for our Easter sequel, we talked to number two on the call sheet, Megan, played by Lene, of course. And that's in Critters 2. Wow, this movie, there are things that I love about movies like this. And so before I mention anything else about the ones that somehow whoever is doing the movie, like us viewing it, can speak Critter because we get subtitles like three times. So before I mention any more about that, I gotta introduce you to my partner in this sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Doug. How are you doing?
Good. And you know what? I already mentioned it. The reason I love movies like this, the way the setting is, I love when there's a small town that it's probably not a real town, like the name of the town. And it's just so hokey. There's so many.
It looks like an old West. It looked like an old West town. I was waiting for the tumbleweed to like start rolling through.
And where were they? Nebraska, I think. They were somewhere in the middle of the country.
Oh, no. I know it was filmed in California.
Oh, yeah. No, it was in the middle of the country because remember, it was the first time I ever heard somebody. I guess that's a Midwest thing. If somebody says, I'm moving to Kansas City, they say KC Mo or KCK or KCK. Yeah. So that's what Megan says to Brad when he talks about moving to Kansas City. So I'm thinking there's somewhere there, but yeah, you're right. It will look like an old West town.
Old West. Yeah. And even how they were dressed, like the one kooky lady that was dressed like she was from Edward Scissorhands or something, like that. She had that like Tim Burton costume on. She looked like she was Old West. Like it was just like it was very weird. You know, this is a type of movie, you know, after all these years, you would think like, you know, like I should hate, right? And again, it's not a good movie. But what I respect about this movie is it knows what it's trying to be. Although does it, because it's almost like part kids movie, but part like part definitely like adult movie. Because there's definitely adult themes in this movie. But it's so silly. Like it's almost like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes type of silly, you know, which I would love to see a crossover. Critters versus Tomatoes. I mean, they're the same size, they roll around. I mean, like that would be a nice little battle.
It would be, yeah. It'd be messy, and they like eating anything, so they'd go right after those tomatoes.
And they're always hungry. I mean, they're eating, like, the whole movie. Like, okay, all right. So, first of all, are they porcupines? Like, is that what they're supposed
well,
to be?
Well, some of them are, because they shoot needles at people.
Yeah. Like
that make them pass out, so they're poison. They're poison, or the dad just doesn't like the sight of blood, because he passes out for, like, 5 minutes.
and the thing is, like, you know, I mean, they're not that big, so like the fact that they terrorize a whole town, but they seem pretty easy to kill. I mean, the dad
easy.
So like, why is it such a problem, you know, with these things? And one last question before we start. So I never saw this one, and I saw the first one like years ago, and I do not remember it at all. But these critters killed people in the same town, correct?
Yeah, 2 years prior.
Okay. Oh, 2 years prior. And they killed people, so it's clearly known. But when the kid arrives, they act like it's something he made up.
I know. I think it was more isolated. Like, it was only in, like, one house. Yeah, I think it was something like that. They didn't terrorize the town.
Okay, isolated in one house. You don't think word's going to get out that there's,
everybody
family
talks about
died?
Sleeping with who? Yeah, no, I know. No, that makes zero. And yeah, they think they made it up. Like, what happened to, hey, remember little Timmy from down the road? Yeah, he had to eat one of those critters. He's making it up. The kid just ran away. And it's like, they can't believe that people died from this?
So I wonder, like, the script they made for this movie, like, there's really no script. Like, we come across a lot of these movies where, like, there's really no plot. Like, the plot is they're back. That's it.
It's the great McGarris wrote and directed this movie. He's also written Hocus Pocus, ton other in the horror genre. And what's funny about this movie, you're right, like, I've never seen a movie. You know how silly it is when Jason comes back? It's like, how can we bring him back? It's like, I don't know, electrocution. Okay, let's use that. This one, it was just, hey, we didn't get rid of all of them. That's all it was.
And okay, so, and at least with Jason movies, there seems to be a revenge factor that, you know, whoever brings him back to life, he's going after that person. Here,
but shouldn't
you
he help
that...
those people? Shouldn't Jason be, oh my God, you brought me back. Thank you.
He should, but he's got a chip on his shoulder. So, you know, he's always, but these creatures, like, if anything, they should be after, what's his name? Bobby Brown or what's his name? Or
Brad Brown.
Brad Brown, which, why? She seemed very excited that he was in town. Like, she
and
ran to the
she
store.
She was supposedly, she's older than him and she really likes him. So,
okay. That's a whole different story, which does not make sense. First of all, Brad Brown, do you think they lightened his hair? Like, that? His hair color is, like, so orangey red.
I know.
Like, that it has to be, like, enhanced. Because it doesn't make sense. You know, like, it's just too bright. But, no, I'm talking about the kooky neighbor ran into the store. Guess who's in town? Brad Brown. Like, remember? So why was she excited that this kid is in town?
Oh, because they needed a headline. Lynn Shay. That's the lady that makes out with her dog and there's something about Mary and her brother's
Bob Shay.
Yeah, her brother's Bob Shay. That's why we have a little Nightmare on Elm Street cameo in this.
Which, I don't know why they didn't. Even for they had an opportunity for two minutes.
The audience.
I know
that
would have
been
amazing.
They made it seem like whatever he looks, whatever, you know, the bounty hunter looks at, looks at, is going to change. And you look at him looking at, I believe that was Dream Master, and I'm like, oh, this is the perfect thing. Nothing.
It would have. And so if the movie didn't do well or was bombing, that part right there would have just enhanced it so much,
dude.
Even just for 2 minutes,
sat for an hour and a half. Yeah, totally.
And you're gonna tell me Robert Englund would have done it for like 2 minutes? 100%. Like, he would have done it. I know. So okay, all right. So
one thing before we start is it's so funny, and I don't know if this is something. This is on IMDb, and like, it's not like I talked to people directly that came up, created all these movies, but so somebody said to the creator of the first Critters and said to them, oh, is this just a rip on Gremlins? And his reply was, oh no, I thought about this before Gremlins, because I don't know if you're aware, there's obviously, we know the Critters, we know the Gremlins, we know the Ghoulies. And Hobgoblins is another one. So this is like a trend in the 80s of like these creature movies. And it's so funny. Like, usually when there's like the knockoffs of the same type of thing, like, they get worse and worse. Obviously, like, the quality of, you know, Joe Dante and Steven Spielberg's backing for like Gremlins, you're not going to like beat that. But all these other ones are like still like well done. They're not like really crappy that... when you go back, you're like, oh, this is terrible. The special effects, there's some cool stuff in this movie.
No, and you know, they all have their own story. Like, they're not copying the Gremlin story. Like, they could have done the same thing with a critter and all, you know, like,
yeah.
So, you know, no, I get, I mean, but clearly, I mean, that whole scene in the restaurant is Gremlins, you know, Gremlin, that's Gremlins 2 right there. You know, I mean, it's a whole, you know, so, no, you know, again, like I said, it's a silly 80s movie, which, you know, it served its purpose. You know, it's got a lot of, you know, bad things about it, but it wasn't boring. And actually, the movie moved like it.
I was like,
it's, I mean, it's only an hour and a half. And like, I'm like 45 minutes in. I'm like, it's almost over. Like it, like it didn't drag, like, you know, like, so yeah, I give it a lot of credit. It's perfect for what it was.
All right. We're going to get started. I promise. One thing for Jamie, off the top of your head, can you tell me what your favorite part of the movie was? There a scene that you always remember about this movie?
Well, I'll tell you a scene that should have been used way more than it was, and it wasn't. So when they become a big ball, like, they had so much opportunity to do something with that, and it only lasted for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true.
My favorite scene, I don't know, because they all kind of blend together. I do like the guy in the beginning, the drunk guy who has all the antiques. I like his character. But I don't have a favorite scene. You know, again, I think they're all just equally dumb.
No, my favorite is when in the restaurant, when I probably have the line exactly, but I wanted to see if you, I think when I say, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. When they start like talking a little bit and they have the subtitles, when the one gets his hair buzzed and he has the George Costanza, and he looks in the mirror and he says, "Bitchin', isn't he?"
No, you know what? I totally forgot about it. It's funny. I watched the trailer again, and I think that might be in the trailer. The buzz cut was amazing. Okay. So, you know, it's funny. Like, they make it look like they have a skull underneath based on that buzz cut. Like, you would think they're just like, you know, like I don't know how to even describe what you would think if they if you shaved one fully down, is it just one big like round ball? Like
I think like so. A wrinkly round ball. Yeah, I think that's
so. Like what? So like, is he just? Is it like a big fuzz ball with eyeballs in it? So if you shaved it down, just his eyeballs would still be out in his mouth. Like, I would love to see their concept of what it looks like underneath. Like if you brought it to like a dog groomer and shaved the one down, what would happen?
I hope they have one of those scenes in that movie. They should have that one of these movies. Accidentally go to a dog groomer and they start doing it, and then that person gets eaten.
You know how frightening that thing would look, though. I mean, with those teeth and you know, and the eyeballs, and just like looking like a hot dog or something. I don't know what, like, it would look like a meatball before it's cooked. Like that I picture.
Yeah. All right. So I have to say, we've been lucky with, we've gotten some very unique title cards over the last, you know, just for the, you know, 2024. This one might be the best one ever because you have Critters 2 and then, gets eaten. I'm like, all right, that's pretty neat, man.
Do you think that was like a Pac-Man thing?
Maybe they wrote that. They copied the whole thing.
When did Pac-Man come out? Like 84 or something?
Yeah, no, like, earlier than that. I feel like Pac-Man was before Nintendo, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, that was so good, that title card. And then, you know what's funny? Like in a movie like this, it'd be weird to watch, like, say, if, like, you know, to talk about Friday the 13th. We saw somebody that was bigger and scarier than Jason, and then that thing disappears through the whole movie, and then you get just Jason, and, like, Jason's amazing. But in this one, the creature that we saw in the beginning that they caught Charlie in the, that was like a cool ass looking thing. I'm like, wow, that's scarier than a critter. A crite. I'm sorry, a crite.
A crite, which I'm not sure why they call it a crite. If they call it like, where do they get, like, at least a crit? Like, I would say I could see a crit from Critters, but where they get crite sounds like it's Australian.
Crite.
See, that's what it sounds like. That's so.
Well,
it's
because Americans change everything. They say they're probably like, it's called a crite, and it's like, oh, you said critter? No, no, it's a crite. Critter, yeah, critter. Put it on a t-shirt.
That is true. So, but here's my question. So the bounty hunters are all wearing leather. What is it with, like, all these movies and leather in the future? Like, why is leather the thing to wear? Because every like, someone, people that come from the future, or like Bill and Ted's and all that stuff, they're always wearing leather.
Here's a question. I've never heard of people owning, it's always like, man, I had this leather jacket for 50 years. Maybe leather lasts longer. So maybe if people, like, you know, had like a cloth jacket or even like a nylon jacket, maybe it'll just like disintegrate and it won't last long, but leather lasts. But you're right. Everybody is,
And where are they getting leather from?
Every movie.
Every movie. And where are they getting the leather from? Because you never see animals.
These cows.
You don't see cows anywhere. So where are they making this leather from?
That's a great question.
Okay. All right.
They're skinning those aliens maybe and hanging them out to dry. Those creatures. I love when he put them into the thing. And then, so I texted you when I started watching this. I accidentally started watching the first one. So the first one's similar starting scene. The first one. Bounty hunters. Krites are going into jail. You don't even know what they are yet. That's why I think it's so confusing. The first movie did that. That's why thinking it was the second one, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. And then it's like, oh, they ate two of the people. Oh, they ate four of the people. But then the person looks like a dick. And no joke. In the original one, he looks like a penis. The alien guy talking to them.
Wait, the whole time? He looks like that the whole movie?
He's only in space. It's not like he's one of the bounty hunters.
Correct. Like the one they call? Okay.
Exactly. So I guarantee Mick Garris wrote that the one in this movie has to be a ball. Because he looks like a testicle. Like
he looks like a droopy one. It does. Like that, but see, when this movie came out, is it supposed to be a horror movie?
No, it's a comedy. Horror comedy.
Okay, so it is considered like... So it was weren't trying to... Okay. Because that thing was like the funniest looking thing. And I'm like, all right, this is... I'm getting ready for a ride. Like, after seeing this thing, I'm like, this is going to be a crazy movie. Because it's just so silly.
Funny?
Way he looked. Oh yeah. He almost looked like the singing creature in Star Wars. Like that with the lips. Like the long lips.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's so true. But it's just so funny that we get like that, like... You know, to create this movie, what should we write? How do they come back? It's like, they're actually not dead. We're getting, they're on Earth. And it's like, what? Yep. And then they're in the same town. And it's like, really?
Now, the set piece in the beginning of the movie, when they're searching for the thing that they were bounty hunting, it looked like a Fraggle Rock set piece.
Oh,
when they were going through and you see like, you know, the camera view of like going through the tunnels, and it really looked like a beginning, because isn't the beginning of Fraggle Rock, they're going through the tunnels it came to my mind right away that it really looked like a Fraggle Rock tunnel. Like, I wonder if that's the same set they use for Fraggle Rock.
You know that is such a great whenever they do shots like that in anything, I think Fraggle Rock. Just the way they
this one, because it looks so cheesy. Like, it was such a cheesy set looking. It wasn't well made. It looked fake as anything.
Yeah.
And again, it looked like a puppet was going to come out of one of the holes, you know?
Okay. So how old would you say Brad is in this movie?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
He's like 16? Because she's in college, right?
I would say, no, she's a senior in high school, I think. But... I think he's in middle school. Like, he might be like 13, 14. He's young. I don't think he's 16. First of all,
in the movie, not like as the actor. I'm saying like,
no, I know.
She mentioned something like, oh, I was a so-and-so when you were. So that's why I thought she was in college.
Well, that's why
she works full time at the newspaper. So I think she's like 19.
Oh, maybe she is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There is absolutely no chemistry between those two.
Oh, none.
And there is. Absolutely, she's not going for him at all. Like,
no
the way.
Way
she, like, I mean, so, and if she is, first of all, she looks like she's in a town where there might be like three people in her grade, because it was a very small town, so maybe, you know, kind of desperate.
Yeah, we didn't
see any
other kids, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess we saw kids at the daycare eating glue. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, there literally is only like six characters in this whole movie. I mean, and that's not even counting the fact that there's only like 10 eggs, but about 500 critters. So I don't know if they grow the same way as, you know, gremlins, but that's. So that when they were like, they're supposed to be like the hookup thing. It just didn't, to me, it just looked weird. It just looked weird.
No, it did. Yeah. And the reason I was asking the age thing was when he was on the bus, like going back home. And that, stranger danger. That bus driver was asking too many questions.
Okay. Number one, he's the only one on the bus, which is weird. And if you are on the bus, are you going to sit in that front seat? so no, you can sit
I'm
that close.
Sit in the back.
No, I'm sitting far back. And this is Easter weekend. So this kid is leaving his family to go with a grandmother. Which, how about her Grammy's son or daughter? If it's the mom, or they don't want to go spend holiday with Grammy, they're gonna send just
Grammy.
The kid.
They forget about because she's gonna get arrested for hurting those kids.
Why is she? Even to the church, like the whole thing, like why is she involved? Like she.
Why is she running anything?
Anything. She looks like she'd be retired.
That clearly aren't eggs.
Correct. Clearly. And she spent more money on those eggs than she would have gotten if she went to the, Acme and bought eggs herself.
That is so true. So she bought eggs thinking they were actual eggs, not like Easter eggs, and she just painted eggs. So a kid was going to find something, and what were they going to win? They get to cook an egg.
But she spent $20 on half the. So there was only about 12 eggs in that, so she bought seven eggs and spent $20 on seven eggs. And now you're talking about back then. So she probably could have gotten like two dozen for like 50 cents.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that she, I would never do anything for the church. She's like, 20 for all of me, 20 for half. You went from like, I'm gonna do something good for my town to hey,
well,
what do you
not for nothing. He was also gonna they were gonna trade for Meisterbrau. Of all the beer, they mentioned Meisterbrau, the worst beer that you possibly could drink. That's why they call it Meister Chow, because it makes you want to throw up. So they that worst beer, that's the trade off. Like give me some Meisterbrau.
And I love that the beer that they drink in this movie said beer on it. The prop beer just said beer on a silver can.
Well, see that now. Why would they do that if they already had Meisterbrau's okay to use their name? So why not just use like a real beer?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they can't show the product. Maybe I'm sure you can say any words. Maybe you can't show the product. Yeah, but it's not like Meisterbrau would care. Like, hey, look.
No. They would say, if anything, yeah, I know.
Free advertising. Our first commercial ever.
Well, I love the fact that when they, right away, the drunk and the bully, whatever, like no one's lived here in 2 years. He says at the barn, it was a barn.
Yeah,
like someone was living in the barn because it literally was a barn.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm guessing whoever was living there, maybe I don't remember the end of the first one, but I'm guessing there was a character that. Went into
the drunk guy, that's the bounty hunter.
That was the bully. I'm trying to think, maybe that was Brad's house and Brad's family left,
and they made it into a barn.
I don't know about that, but he made it sound like, hey, I found this thing. Let's
I know,
go. Yeah. Do you know who that guy was? Seinfeld?
No,
he was a Seinfeld guy. He was the guy that was the pool guy that
who,
worked
the bully
at the pool,
guy?
The bully guy. And then he pushed Jerry in the pool, right? Or Jerry,
I don't remember.
Jerry bumped him into the pool. Something like
that.
Not one of my favorites. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
But I love how the bus driver, he knows the story. And he says, your grandma ever tell you about those space porky bun thingies?
So a guy who doesn't live there knows the story, but the people in town don't believe the story.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Okay.
He said, I remember driving a lot of people out that night. Everybody wanted to get the hell out.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
so
man.
How many years? I think, did you
2 years.
Say it before?
It's been 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
People forget a lot in 2 years. You know, like Nightmare on Elm Street, all of the Camp Crystal
Lake.
Clearly. People forget everything somehow.
And honestly, if I mean, I can't imagine people would forget, but the second an alien or creatures attack my town, I'm looking to move right away. I'm not staying there anymore. You know, like, because who's going to say they're not going to come back, which clearly they do. But if I find that in my town right now, I'm not staying there any longer. It's like if there was ever a serial killer that was on the loose in your town, you know what? I'm done. It has memories, from Memory Lane down here. If he ever wants to visit Memory Lane, I don't want to be, on that street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh man. So I do like his sales technique, because he said, "What are they?" And he goes, "What are they? Whatever you tell people they are." So he's trying to sell something to a guy that isn't anything. He's just trying to get him to figure out what you could tell people. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Look at the stuff he had in that place. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah. He had toilet seats on the outside of the barn or of his store. He had hanging on the wall. He had toilet seats.
American Pickers would have been a great episode. That's all I thought about. That's like one of those shows I like to throw on when I can just relax and shut my brain off. And it's like, that's all I thought about. I'm like, oh, is there any good stuff in there? What is this guy? How does he make money? From what?
Who's he selling to? Like that town is so
seven
small.
In town.
I was going to say, who's he selling that? Because he has a lot of stuff there. So one, where's he getting it all from? And two, who's he selling it to? Because I can't imagine anyone going there to buy anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And so does he live there? Because
he does. No, I think he does live there. Because that's why when he came, remember when he came back drunk, like the night he dies, and he takes his hat, he does like a tip of his hat, and he goes, "Damn Easter weekend" or something. He says like a weird line. When I think of Easter, it's like Easter's a Sunday, and this is supposed to be like the Friday, and he's like, "Oh, damn Easter festivities."
And he got dressed up for it. He was wearing a suit. So he got dressed up to spend Easter alone.
Yeah, maybe he thought he was going to get lucky. Maybe there's that whole story. You know, he had a rough night. Girl didn't show up.
Okay. You know, I could totally see him with that kooky neighbor. That, like, you know,
Lynn
Shay.
Yeah. I could see that too. But isn't it funny, our introduction to Grandma? Like, I know we've been talking about Grandma a lot, but she doesn't show up until like right now, like when Brad gets there. And the first thing we get from her is she's talking to one of the kids. She says, "You need fiber for a healthy PM." And then they cut to a kid eating paste and then another kid shoving crayons up his nose.
This grandma doesn't seem like she's all there. I mean, and yet she's running the daycare. She's running the church. Like, I mean, there's no one better to pick. You know, like, would you trust your kids with this grandmother? I mean, like you said.
Maybe she doesn't charge and the parents are like, all right, cool. She hasn't given us a bill in seven years.
And can you imagine? Okay, so she's talking about fiber with these kids. They must come home crapping themselves because of all the fiber this grandma has given them. And like the parents are like, you know, oh, these kids have good bowel movements. Like
they're filling the bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God, dude. I love the setup of I remember the bounty hunters, like the switching, but I love in this one, like when they're driving back and the Playboy flies out, I'm like,
oh,
I don't remember the critters like reading porn or anything. Like, I don't remember a weird scene like that.
Yeah, but you knew something. I mean, obviously they focused on it for a second, so you knew something.
Oh, it
was
great. It was like, talk about another like a movie that only has like one girl, like really, besides the bounty hunter, it's really just Megan. And they're like, we got to get boobs in this one. How are we going to get it in here? And it's like, let's just have this.
Well, they know that they can't put this movie out there if there's no boobs because it has to have the 80s rule. So, I mean, reality, there's no, even if it was, you know, what they're trying to get is the Playboy playmate. She didn't have to be naked, right? They could have easily done it, but had to throw that in there. You know, because she could have like looked like Weird Science, right? She wasn't naked. She came in fully clothed. So they could have done the same thing. But because it's an 80s movie, they had to throw it in somewhere. And that was the only scene they could do it.
I did love that she had the staple in her stomach. That was amazing. That was like so cool. When she pulled something off her, I'm like, what is that? I'm like, the staple comes with it? Like,
you know what? But think about how creative that is, right? Like, that's attention to detail. Like, that's something like most people probably, you know, like if they didn't have it, obviously wouldn't make a difference. But the fact that they did have that in there is so like creative, like that. I think that was really good.
Oh, dude, so good. And then how about the main guy, the main bounty hunter that we see? He could, no joke, easily in a movie be Tim Curry's brother. He looks so much like him, man. Like Tim Curry. Yeah. It was like wild. It was like scary how much they looked alike.
He looked familiar too, though. Like I'm trying to. I'm sure
he did.
Seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
no, definitely a familiar face. But then we go to the Hungry Heifer for the first time, and we see Eddie Deason as the worker in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is he doesn't show up on a lot of movies, but it's still always great because, you know, right out high, you know, Grease, his character in Grease is so good. Yeah. And he is good in this movie. It's like really silly. Like, Yeah, he's just so annoying. He plays a great annoying guy.
But you know what? It's funny. Like, he can't play any other role, though.
No, I don't think it's... he talks like that. I remember I told...
No, I know.
You
know.
We interviewed him, and it was like a 13-minute interview. And he wasn't really too nice in a way. Not the fact that he was mean to me. He just didn't want to... He just kept saying, is this over with? So we never put it out
there.
Oh,
my gosh.
So we were going to cover this like 3 years ago. But yeah, he...
But he just has that look, the voice. Like, yeah, he's playing himself, clearly. But like... He plays it perfectly. I mean, listen, he could have been one of the guys in Revenge of the Nerds easily. You know,
oh,
like,
my God.
And I'm surprised they didn't even ask him to do that. I know. That's amazing. Like, it's, yeah. So he should have been.
He just showed up to set and they were like, hey, dude, you're not in this movie.
He's probably like, you look too good of a nerd. We can't even, you know.
He could have been like the king nerd that they go back to. That would have been great, right? Gilbert and them that needs to like talk to, instead of like the Lambda director, that great actor who's like the president of it, they could have had like him be like the nerd god from like 10 years prior.
Well, I think the problem is like, you know, in Revenge of the Nerd movies, these nerds at some point become cool, right? You know, in the whole series and everything else. I don't think there's any way for him to become cool. Like he's like nerd, you know, like natural nerd. And, you know, even if you fix his hair up, he's still gonna look like the nerd, you know, like he's like the Shermanator. I don't care what the Shermanator's in, he's always gonna be the Shermanator. It doesn't make a difference. True. You know, he has that look. So is this where we meet Megan? Right? She drives.
Oh, dude, that is so her in real life. To park like and then climb through the window.
No, not only park like that, the way she exited the car. Like, I don't think I can even ever like attempt that, because I don't think my body
fall
can bend
like
that.
Windshield or
100%. But the fact that that's how she comes out, like ass first, like through the window, is amazing. And you know, and I've talked to her a few times as well. Without a doubt, she probably does that even to this day. I can see her.
Yeah. She talked about some driving, like crazy driving stories. But no, it was like a cool introduction to her character. She's like, oh, she's badass. I think she should have had more opportunities to do that in the movie. Even though she was like the one that was willing to do anything, and Brad was kind of like, hey, whoa, what are we doing? Why are we trying this? So they should have given her more opportunities to showcase that a little bit more. But
I agree.
But yeah, no, she's great. Agree.
But again, just by her entrance and then the fact that she's with Brad, I don't think so. Like that, those two things do not like go hand in hand, you know, unless the only two options is the bully or Brad. You know, and let's be honest, she probably already slept with the bully. So, you know, that's, you know, they definitely hooked up before.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a history. And I love that his first line to her, that like foot in. Are you okay? Are you choking?
Okay.
Wrong pipe.
Woo.
He's alive. He's alive, folks.
I'm alive. I
love his first line. Like, you see like a pretty girl, you don't want to say something dumb. I don't think I would ever get over the line that he said, kind of like Jimmy Olsen, but with breasts.
Okay. That makes no sense, because you have Lois Lane also, who is a reporter, and he could have said Lois Lane, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, right? So like, first of all, that's why, like, I think he's like more of like a middle school kid, like an eighth grader, because that's something like an eighth grader would say.
Yeah.
Why would you say Jimmy Olsen when you have Lois Lane? And she kind of looks like Lois Lane. Like she could be a Lois Lane.
Yeah.
No, he goes Jimmy Olsen route. But
oh,
you know what,
God,
though? Man. She ended up with it. So maybe she liked that dirty talk.
Maybe she did. You had me at that. Like, your first line made zero sense, and it made me kept thinking and thinking. I couldn't get out of my head.
Is that considered dirty talk? That you're like Jimmy Olsen, but with breasts?
Yeah.
Because I can imagine him like saying things like that, like when they're hooking up. Like that's his dirty talk.
You're like Superman with breasts, and that's his only line. He just like says,
he goes, and then he goes, oh yeah, you're like Spider-Man with breasts. Like, he just picks every comic book character.
She's like, okay, I get it.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. Hilarious, dude. Oh,
All right.
But yeah, so then we get, she's a terrible driver, which we see. Like, she's really bad at driving. So the parking job wasn't more of like, hey, I'm a badass. It was like, she really just can't park. Because how many, because she hits somebody, or she talks about her driving history. But anyway, so to go to grandma, I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but the fact that she's going to buy these bumpy eggs from this guy, like,
why?
You said it earlier, but it makes zero sense. Why would you not get, even if he said like, hey, these are filled with candy or something, I'd be like, these
right,
don't feel, there's, why do you open them? How do you get the candy in there?
They look like grenades. Like, they look like grenades. They, yeah, they really do. Like, what if they were like some kind of grenade? Like, you know, like, why, like, the fascination with the, with these, this, first of all, what is she doing there? Like,
know,
why is she, like, what was she looking for to begin with? Like, why was she there? In the, like, because he decided to show her the eggs, right? Like, she wasn't going there. So,
oh no, what was, I think he mentioned that he has something for her, which is really creepy. But that's how she creepy got there. And she said, what do you have? And he said, I got these Easter eggs. And then that's how that whole, like, okay, thing started. You know who I thought of when it came to her? Because I think she's acting on, like, a troll 2 level. Like, how much she's going for it. She look, she reminded me of the milk guy. The guy that owned the store in Troll 2. He's, oh, like, yeah, milk. Ugh. He's like, here, drink some green milk. It was, like, that weird thing. But she, man, well, the fact that he was trying to sell 10 bucks an egg to start.
Well, you know what she reminded me? She reminded me of the grandma from Tweety Bird. She had the,
oh,
like,
my God. If they did a live action.
If, yes, they did a live action, she could be the grandma from Tweety Bird.
Oh, my,
but,
God.
But she's so weird because, I mean, I don't think, I don't know if we were there yet, but there's a point in the movie where she gave, I think, a chocolate bunny to a, to, was
to
it,
the girl.
No, to the girl.
To
the girl.
To Megan's sister.
But it wasn't even wrapped. Like, it was a chocolate bunny, like, that, like, is basically melting in their hand. Yeah. And she goes, here, there's a, so, like, she's that grandmother that will, like, things fall into, like, her sauce. And, like, you know, like she's like the grandma from Christmas Vacation. Like, you know, don't trust anything she eats because you don't know what's in there, you know, mm-hmm, kind of thing. Like, she definitely seems absent-minded.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
I mean,
the,
okay,
fact,
let's,
that,
let's,
that
be
does
honest,
not melt. How does that chocolate, oh, bunny not melt?
I, and is it like, was it a chocolate bunny or was it something,
no,
else?
No,
it
was
chocolate bunny, right?
And I think, okay, the reason that it was by the heating vent was to, I thought it was going to show us that the heat was on and it was going to start melting. Cause then we put two and two together, which we'll start talking about in a few minutes,
right,
like the rules of these things. Well, they actually start hatching right now. Like, this is when, oh, and his line when he comes back, I was wondering why I just had this quote. So when he comes back, he tips his hat, he closes the door, like, groans and said, shit, Easter sucks. And I'm like, this is so, the fact that this is an Easter movie that we're watching, an Easter horror movie, and we hear a line like that. Like, I've never heard anybody that, like, Easter's one of those holidays. It's like, obviously, if you're religious, it means more. But just for, like, people that aren't religious, it's just like, oh, it's another day. Like, it's just this other day. It's a, there's no ill will towards this holiday. It's not like it falls on, like, a day. It's, like, going to ruin everything or you have to buy a bunch of stuff. It's just so funny to hear this guy groan over
because
Easter.
Because he probably does that with every holiday. He probably dresses up every holiday.
Valentine's Day. Dude, I would just love that.
I see.
A super cut of him every holiday. Oh, man.
And he's dressed a little bit more like, you know, like, yeah. And every holiday, like, oh, man, my birthday sucks. And, like, you know, like, you know, whatever. Like, listen, this is a guy that he was feeding his dog. And then he licked a spoon from the
wet. Yes, he did.
I mean, so, like, you know, like, listen, you can't feel that bad for him if he's eating dog food. You know, I mean, so, you know, but yeah, that would be very. I can see him, like, every holiday he goes back.
I would love,
you know,
that,
it's amazing.
Every little President's Day, like, every holiday, like, everyone that shows up on a calendar. Like, every stupid one.
And he's dressed up every time. He's dressed up every time, yeah. Like, with no place to go, and just complaining. Yeah. He's like the Grinch. He's like the Grinch. He's the Grinch of the town.
Oh, my God. So the first time you see the critters, obviously you know them from when we've seen the movies, but, like, in the actual movie, when you see it, the first thing that jumps in my head, like, and it's so crazy, I never thought about this before, but they look like Bubble Bobble. You remember Bubble Bobble for Nintendo? Like they were the little dragon looking things.
Yes.
If you put fur on them, because these things have such a wide mouth. Like obviously they use that to eat people, but they had like this wide mouth, and I think they look cool. Like I don't remember them looking as good. I feel like maybe like the newer one was CG, obviously because that stuff costs more. Doing the practical effects, but I'm impressed on how much I was like, wow, these things are actually cool.
But so I was thinking like, and I don't think it happened, but like they should have grown the more they ate, because they eat the entire movie, but they don't grow.
Yeah. Well, they get bigger and bigger after they eat the dog.
No, they don't.
They get a little bit bigger,
and then after the restaurant, they get
a little bit bigger. Oh, I know.
I don't think so. I don't, because they, when they were in that big ball, I don't think they were that big. I mean, listen, the amount they were eating for the size they were, they should have been pretty big.
It was like silly that it was like really gradual.
Yeah.
So it should have like bigger, but it was weird that, remember, so when they're in that ball, which we'll get more detail later, there was like a big face on one part of it, and then the rest was little ones. So that didn't make any sense. So one of them got really big.
Well,
one that spoke.
Yeah, but the one that got big was big for a reason. Wasn't he in disguise? He was in disguise.
Oh, that was at the end of the movie. He was in disguise.
But that's why he got big. But the other ones didn't get big like him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. That's interesting. We'll talk about that then. When that switch happened.
Right.
When he joined, because there was a point. Yeah, you know what? That's so funny.
Yeah.
I just put, because there's a, wow, that's amazing. That just blew my mind, because I remember seeing him and every line he said, oh my God, that's crazy. I just put that together because I thought.
We just had a Rip Torn moment.
We just had, because I thought he only switched at the very end, but then I just thought about all the scenes with the larger one. It was always like, hey guys, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
But somehow that. All right, we'll get to that. That's insane.
All right,
really.
All right,
but dude, the dog. Like, you knew the dog was dead. The fact that he grabbed the bowl, and the bowl that was obviously like shaped like a bowl, the metal bowl, was flat, ripped up, covered in red, and he was just like, "You damn dog, where are you?" I'm like, "Wait, there's something going on with this dog."
Okay, first of all, these critters, you know, I don't know what their plan is, because they eat everything. They eat chairs. They eat like it's not even just looking for food. They just keep eating everything. But they didn't eat the dog. They skinned the dog. Because you saw the dog with no skin on it. So what was that purpose for? Like, why would they
like the skin? They like the skin. Like,
so it's like, it's like eating, it's like fried chicken. It's like eating fried chicken, and you know they want to eat the skin, and you know, okay.
But when they pop up, like, I'm sure they were puppeteered. I would guess, and I can probably look this up, and I'll put it on sequelsonly.com/critters2, but I'm sure there's behind the scenes the way they did it. I bet you it was like on a pole and like with a remote, but it was funny when you saw them pop up from the back of it. Like, it was like almost like when you have puppies and the puppies are like, you know, like you see their heads, like, you know, getting milk from their mom. Like, this out of nowhere, they see them pop up and you're like, oh my God.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, you know what they're like? They're like those, remember those mad balls? They're
soft.
You know, with a little face? That's kind of like what they are. Like,
that's so what I wonder, like,
do you think they have feet and hands in the hair? Like, you know, because they get around pretty well. You know, like, so, and they're able to do, like, they're able to clearly throw a body through a window.
They have hands because they can hold on to each other when they form that ball.
They threw the guy through the window.
Oh yeah, they did.
So I mean, so do you think they have these like little tiny hands covered over the hair so you can't see anything? I really wish, like, you know, in one of the movies they just shaved one down and you see the skinny little body with this big mouth. Like, okay,
God, I love them. And so let's talk about the rules a little bit. So we find out the rules are pretty simple. It's not like after midnight or can't get them wet, you know, feed after midnight, all that from light, from gremlins. In this one, it's like, all right, warm. Don't get them warm, because I'm telling you, I was laughing my ass off for the Easter egg hunt when the one was in the sun and the other ones were in the shade and it started shaking. I'm like, really?
Wait, You know what? I don't even remember the rules. Who gave the rules?
Well, nobody has any rules. I'm just saying, as watching, we realized that...
You're making up your own rules?
No, it's just the fact. The ones that were... she had... The old lady kept hers. She had kept a lid on hers.
Wait, are you talking about the rules for the egg or the rules for the critters?
The rules for the egg. For the egg tower.
So you're saying that the egg acted like any other animal egg, that when you get it warm, it hatches?
Well,
I mean, that's what you're describing. You're describing
Is it's been dormant for 2 years. Now just there's a little bit of heat on it.
Okay, so maybe it takes a little longer to hatch, but it's the same rules. You have an incubator with the chicken eggs. They're going to hatch when it gets warm. You know, I don't think they're considered rules.
Yeah, but I just think the timing of it, the fact that we have one in the shade, one not, and then you have the ones that are next to the heater in the house, and...
Okay. I still question, there's only really 12 eggs or whatever. I'll even give you 20 eggs, which there's no way there were 20 eggs, but I'll give you 20 eggs. There's at least 100 critters. More than 100 to make that ball. So where are they coming from? I want to know that rule. Like, how do they multiply?
Dude, I love watching them roll. I know it was so cool.
And they're fast. And
a lot of
they
times
roll
they
fast.
Do it. It was a miniature set, because there was only a few times that we saw them rolling near people. But every time we saw them roll, they were just like by themselves. Like, it was just like them in a field. Like, it was so funny.
No, the fact that they communicate with each other, like the whole field, you know, part and everything, it is pretty. We're not there yet. I have something to say about the end. So
okay,
all right, never mind.
I'm telling you, dude, I would have went nuts if that kid got eaten. When we saw the critter start hatching right next to the heater.
Wait, okay, before we haven't even talked about the sheriff, and the fact that. Again, the grandmother picks him to be the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Of all people, the guy's a miserable person.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny's supposed to be happy and get kids excited. And you have this guy who is so miserable with anything, and he's going to be your Easter Bunny?
Yeah. No, bad choice. Terrible choice.
And it didn't last long. Like, did we get past this part?
Right there. No, we're right at this part. Yeah. Because the next day, we talked about it, when they just hatched, they're really gooey, because the one that just hatched, the guy that was on Lost that plays Megan's dad, he steps on it and then...
Okay.
Ugh, sorry, he stepped on your egg.
Is that what he said? Because I was trying to say, like, how... And did he not question why there's goo coming out of it?
Oh, I don't think he cleaned it up. He walked away.
Okay. He did walk away. That's what I mean. Like, so
what
did he not know...
What a terrible dad.
And... So the egg, when he stepped on it, was all just like slime. It was all goo. There was no creature in there. Like,
no.
So if you put him in front of the heat, somehow the creature magically grows into this hairy thing within minutes. It was empty. It was empty and goo. And he didn't, again, it wasn't like a little stuff. Like, he stepped in it. It squished. You heard the squish. First of all, the sound effects in this movie are ridiculous. Like, there's so many cartoony boings and bowling pins and like, you know, like, but he stepped on it. You hear the squish. It's a lot. He doesn't question that. It's like you step in dog crap. You know, you step in dog crap. There's no denying it. This probably felt like similar that you're stepping in dog crap. And he just walked away. And he's probably dragging it throughout the rest of the house, because now it's stuck to his shoe.
Yeah. So nobody said, like, hey, what's this green goo? It's not like the... Because you know what's funny? I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, man, the critter died. But then later in the scene, the Easter egg hunt, we'll get there in a second, but we see a gooey one like that too. But then we see the critter all covered in the goo.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hiding in the bushes. So with this one... It's just in the house. Like, where does that one go? Like, we have no clue.
There was one in the house. Was that another egg? Because there was one in the house in the crawl space or something. Because they blocked it off. Remember, like there was. But was that a different house? Oh no, that was Bobby Brown's house or whatever.
That was at grandma's house. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
No shit, Bradley. Grandma. Critters are back. She's holding a door. No shit. Oh, that was funny. But the sheriff, the one thing I love about the sheriff, and then she says, "Ah, oh, don't be such a gloomy Gus." God, but his man, though, his death, rough.
Oh,
and
my.
Like, it's so good because we obviously we see him walking. He steps on one of the gooey eggs. Then they all, they sounded like the bank chute, like at the old
yes.
bank when you write the,
yeah.
and you shoot yeah, that yeah. through. And they're flying around his body. And then I love that they cut away from him. And we're like, oh, he's kind of gone. And then the priest is going through his sermon. And then out of nowhere, he flies through the window.
So, like, did he jump through? Or, like, or did the critters throw him through? Like, there's no explanation for that. And it wasn't like a, I don't think it was a window that was a ground window. It was kind of high up.
It was high. Oh, yeah. It was like,
yes.
It was up.
Yeah.
On a,
it was like one of those. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I don't know how that. And did they, when they first started eating him, were they eating his junk first? Because they went through the zipper part. Of, like, and he was like screaming there. So, like, they just, yeah, I don't, because the way his face looked, it was very bizarre. Like, his
oh,
death.
My God.
Yeah.
But the worst thing was, again, in a town. Now, this would make such sense if it was like, oh, this was a scientific lab around here and they're trying to cover it up. It's like, it's not like they're covering up this whole thing happened. It's almost like they forgot about it because
right.
it just doesn't make any sense. The fact that they right away say that it was like a farming accident, like farming machinery.
So there, right. It was a farming accident that somehow threw him through the window.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, imagine being the people of this town. Okay, so there's obviously crazy things going on right now. And the one person that maybe could save you is the sheriff who has a gun and he's dead. Like, so now you have, like, nothing. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay.
But I can't believe that they chalk it up right away. His whole... That whole region of his body was chewed up. They chewed his stomach out. And they're just saying, oh, some kind of... Why was there farming equipment? They didn't, did they find farming equipment? Wouldn't there be bloody farming equipment? Like, it's like if I said... If I was a detective and I showed up to the scene and they're like, case closed, this guy was stabbed. It's like, why? He's like, I don't know. Just like, there's a poke on him. So that's what it is. Like, there's no...
Well, why would the sheriff be using farming equipment in the first place?
He's supposed to be Easter Bunny, like getting ready for
and
that.
He's a sheriff. He's not going to be doing farming. Like,
and where is it? They just saw him put the costume on. There should be bloody farm equipment somewhere. Did somebody take it away? No. Like, it's just a silly thing.
Well, again, this is a town that there was a couple of murders just 2 years ago and that they seem to forget. So, yeah, I'm not surprised.
He kind of deserved to die. Remember his weird comment about his crotch being open? Said I'll give them more than one surprise or something. I'm this guy needs to die.
Yeah.
But the critters hid really quick. So they were able to get him to be eaten and then somehow, I guess, maybe all jump off him at the same time. That's how he flies up. Because they disappear. They start hiding. They're hiding in the bushes.
They bounce, right? So maybe they kind of like bounce them up or something. Because bounce and move, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I would have liked to seen what they did, how they got it up there. So. Okay. Or, you know, like maybe they're like, you know, like they could create like a stairs with each other. Like they could create things that they kind of carry, like, and carried him like an ant. Like they carried him up it and just tossed him through the window. Like, because if they can make a ball, they probably can make a lot of things together.
They can make a Muppet Man. They could be walking around in town, in the church. Hey, why don't we just let everybody eat each other? It's like, oh, okay. Are you a critter?
That would be amazing. That'd be amazing. That's why, like, the crossover that we should have had was Attack of the Kill Tomatoes meet the Critters. And I think that would have been an incredible, you know, crossover.
Or even just, I wonder if they did that ever for fun. Like John Beekler and all the people that take the Ghoulie. Oh. Like watch a poker game of like the Ghoulie and the Gremlin. And just like all talking in those voices. That'd be hilarious.
No, listen, have an Expendables with just the creatures. So have a gremlin, ghoulies, a troll. I just throw them all in there. And like, yeah, that would be awesome.
That's a true creature feature.
That is a creature feature.
One of each. That'd be awesome. Stripe, you have to have Stripe to be that one.
Well, you have the talking one and the second one. You know, so you have to have him. He's got to be the leader. And then, again, you have...
Cat Gooley, Richard Kind would do it, I'm sure, right? Amazing. Oh, my God, man.
Well, and then you have the critter here that had long hair, because didn't one critter have the long, had very long hair? Yeah. He had like a, like he had like rock star wavy like hair that like if the fan was blowing on him, it'd be blowing it away. He had
that was the one, right? Wasn't that cheeseburger?
Yes. Yeah. But he was like their stripe because he literally had like 80s rock hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was the one that was like a little bit bigger than them. And then the one that came in later is the
decoy. Correct.
Was the biggest one. Yeah. So now they go. Brad still doesn't want to like give in to what he knows. The fact Megan convinces him, so they go to the old sheriff, and the old sheriff dude is so great. Like,
and you know, he's another guy that's a character actor that's in so many movies. Things, he's awesome. Yeah, and you know what's funny? I think he always plays like a sheriff. He always plays.
Yeah, he has that look.
Like he has that look. He always plays. Yeah,
like a gravelly guy. Like no matter what role, he's like an old, gravelly neighbor. Or something, but yeah, I love that he gets right into his car, like his El Camino looking car,
and he leaves.
Right.
Well, was he in the first movie?
Yeah, he was a sheriff in the first movie. Because remember his gripe? They're like, "Come on, you saved them 2 years ago." Goes, yeah, I saved them. They voted my ass out of office.
So then, why'd they vote him out? If they, again, and the fact that they knew he saved the town from these critters, yet they don't remember that. And why did they vote him out? Did he say it, or
maybe he was like doing something really terrible? But he's like, hey, come on, save us from critters. You know, cheated on my wife with a hooker or something.
Okay,
it's like, yeah, you gotta get out of here, buddy.
Well, I like the fact that the newspaper was already. He had enough time already to make the newspaper because the newspaper was ready with the murder that just happened at the church. So what was the time frame from that church scene
minutes
to the newspaper?
Special edition. It was a special edition that he was going to get out to the seven people in town. Like I never could understand. You're in a small town. Like how much is a newspaper? How are you in business? How many do you have to sell?
What are you reporting on? Like that's a local newspaper. What's going on a daily basis that you're reporting? Like that town doesn't have a lot going on. Like there's not a lot of stores and stuff, but it has a newspaper. You know, like it has. You know, that's what it has. But everything else, yeah. And again, was he at the church? Because if he wasn't at the church, how did he know what happened? Because they didn't have cell phones back then.
That is true. Maybe he's at the church. He's like, oh, honey, I gotta use the bathroom, and he's like.
what he runs across the street to his
maybe there's one rival paper in town
because it literally like the town looks like it's a very small town even though there's a point where they are driving later but for the town purposes everything's right there it's like again it's an old west town that has the doctor right next to the bar right next to the newspaper right next to you know so it's ridiculous.
And you know how much of a set that was the fact that you didn't see any houses. Like in any neighborhood, there's like houses or like an apartment or something.
Yep.
This had just the buildings. Like that doesn't exist in real life. There's always some kind of like housing like anywhere. But nope, not here at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
God. And you know, the one thing they were great with, and it was like, I think so well done. And I think it's such a beautiful art is like miniatures. And I think some of the critter scenes of the balls rolling, they seem like they're miniatures because just the background looked like kind of like with the spacecraft landing, like you could tell like all that's not like things.
Right.
I'm like, that's such a cool art, like to spend X amount of dollars to try to like make something that's huge or just let's do a miniature that sits on a coffee table, you know?
Do you know what the budget was for this movie?
I don't know. I can look it up real quick.
So, I mean, I just be curious because, I mean, I think, you know, I think they did a good job for what they had.
$4 million.
You know what? I think that's pretty impressive then because
first
for $4
million, $2 million and Gremlins 2, $50 million.
Wow.
That's insane. I know they had cameos and stuff, but that's huge.
You know, That is amazing because, well, first of all, Hulk Hogan probably got about $20 million of that in Gremlins. But, you know, for $4 million for this movie, for the special effects. And I mean, you know, it didn't really have any big names. Obviously, it had some, you know, side characters, but I think that's pretty good. I think they did a good job of what the amount of money they had.
Yeah, the first one.
I mean, the spaceship looked a little, you know, silly. Yeah, I mean, like,
no,
it
definitely
ridiculous.
Did. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's crazy that they made a lot more of these, because typically, like, if you have that big number one and then the rest, you're just whatever profit you make is great, but you don't want to lose. But like the first Critters, $2 million budget, box office 13. Okay. Second one, it was 4 and box office was 3.8. So it like broke even. That doesn't include, that was just in the theater. Yeah.
No, sure. So, okay, so it didn't do well. I'm surprised. I mean, you know, just because
maybe
it
VHS,
up, so...
like back in the day, VHS, that's where a lot of people made their bread.
It was, but I mean, you know, like again, I'm assuming Critters did well enough in the theater, obviously, to make a second one. So I would have thought people would at least would have the third one I could have seen bomb, you know. So I'm surprised.
All right,
but they how many did they
more.
Make?
How many? They're
like
they just
four,
had
right?
a series a few years ago. No, more than that.
Wait, they had a
I feel
TV
like there's
series?
Like seven movies, I thought.
And they had a TV series, Critters.
Very recently, yeah. Like not that
with,
long
with
ago.
With these critters, like the same type of critters. No way.
I think they hired some other ones, but no, maybe not. I thought it was more, but yeah, four of the original batch. Ooh, the third one looks really weird. They look like they're people. That's weird. They have like long hair in the picture, but so five movies. 92.
We might have to add. We might have to add another Critters to our list. Okay.
I never seen 3 and 4, but I think 3 is the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wait, he's in a Critters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's not in the first one, so I'm pretty sure he's...
Oh, so he had to be super young. I mean, it's probably... Wow, I wonder if he did Gilbert Grape right after that, and they're like, wow,
he was
his
in
acting
Critters
in Critters.
3 in 91, so not too far off.
Wow.
Gilbert Grape is, I would guess, 93, 94.
So, but there was a series? There was a TV series, Critters?
Yeah, I thought I saw that somewhere. I don't see it right now, but 93.
So was what?
Critters 3 came out in 91, and Gilbert's great in 93.
See?
In 93. So, wow, dude.
It is amazing how all the... It almost seems like it. Like, a lot of these stars start off in, like, comedy horror or horror type movies, and then they make it, you know, big from there. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, really okay. Cool. And then this is where I wrote, how can we get a hottie in this movie? Like a girl that's just there for our viewing. And it kind of reminded me of the girl from Ghoulies 3. It definitely wasn't her, but she was a former Playboy model. The girl that definitely wasn't a college student. But when he's looking at the picture, it's the way the boobs, like the body's changing,
gosh.
And the way the boobs just like,
pop, I know,
like shoot through and everything. You're like, wow. And they're like slow to stay on it for a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah.
Yeah. And well, the fact that she's running around, like, you know, really no clothes on, which,
yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. So he changed, because first of all, I thought his face looked so weird when he doesn't change. Like, it's just like a, like that was pretty kind of cool.
That was really cool looking. I know.
Right.
Yeah.
So he changed it to the girl, and she's basically wearing nothing, like nothing, right? She arrives at the diner or wherever they arrived at, and she's fully clothed.
Oh, well, the next time we see her, but when we see her just before they cut away to the next scene, you just see her boobs and like the leather that the previous one had was all ripped up. And yeah, you're right. And then the next time we see her, it's like they tailored a new outfit.
Where'd she get it from? It is still a leather outfit. It's definitely like an S&M kind of like outfit she's wearing later on. But where'd she get it from? Tell me there's a store. Did they stop at a store? And
the one tailor, they walk in and try to explain their like futuristic guns. And yeah.
So they have an SM leather store in town next to the doctor and the bar and the newspaper. Okay. Priorities.
Yeah, it's like the town from Oblivion. This is bigger than Oblivion 2, but it's just like that hokey of each of the individual things, man.
Okay,
and then we cut to another. This death to me makes zero sense how this happens, but so Lin Shaye, they go out to see Lin Shaye, and she's like screaming. She talks about the antique guy because he's they haven't seen him in a day or something, right?
But
it wasn't even
that why was she? Why were they screaming though? Like, and okay, and the fact that this guy's basically like not a homeless guy, but he's a guy, he's a recluse that stays in his, oh, you know, yeah. like, and so everybody knows when someone doesn't leave their house. Like, it's that's
maybe
how small the town
to
is.
Maybe they used to do it. Him and Lin Che, but makes sense.
Well, again, I said that, you know, yeah, I did, but I mean, I don't think they're doing it now. But this is the type of town that if you don't leave your house in a day, that everybody knows. Like, everybody knows something, you know, like, they assume something's going on. That's how small the town is.
Yeah. But I love that Brad.
What do you, what do you just, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the fact that Brad goes up to the door.
Oh.
How does that happen? He was already, like, skinned, like, his back and eaten up, but he flew through the door when Brad knocked on it?
They seem to like to throw bodies. That's
you.
Like, so clearly as part of like, it's like, I'm done with this. And he just,
it's there.
And they toss it.
They throw it out to the trash. Oh my God. Oh.
And like, come on. He's a 14-year-old kid. He's that brave to go knock, knows what these things can do. And he tells everybody, stay in the truck. I'll go. Yeah. Like, first of all, why are you going in the first place? You know, they're probably in there. Like you wouldn't maybe like try to call, like, get some kind of backup, some kind of weapon.
Well,
something.
Who are you going to call? Critter That's, Busters?
That is true. The ex-sheriff left town. So the
yeah, that, I just love it that line, Critter Busters.
Oh man, but like, he went there with no weapons. Like even a shovel. Well, the weapons they have later on are just hysterical. That they.
Oh yeah, I know. The one looks like a telescopic, like
they had telescope. Yeah, they had a telescope. They had a rake. They had it was like they're chasing Frankenstein. They're going after. Yeah. It was like that whole scene was like it was like almost like watching a Frankenstein movie. That the town folk are getting whatever they can as for weapons and yeah. Okay.
So then I love that they go back. The grandma line was great, but even like this is when her dad does her dad get shot in the neck right now? I think he does because that's the first time I think we saw the porcupine skill of the
well, this
critters.
Is where a couple of things go on, right? Because I had the boing noise. Are they at the store at the restaurant now, or not?
Not yet. No, this is when they go to grandma's and she says that line.
Okay.
Because Bradley's looking for his remote.
You're right. You're right. Okay.
His special phone. She's like, oh, I thought it was the remote for the TV.
So what does that remote just calls the bounty hunters?
Well, yeah, they're in 5 seconds.
Well, they were okay. Okay, hold on a second. But they're already there, right? So if they weren't there, and he pushes the remote, how long is it going to take them to get from planet whatever that they're on to Earth? Because he pushed the imagine he pushes it and it just takes them about 10 days to get there.
Hey.
You froze.
We're back.
All right, there you are. Okay.
All right, cool.
So, so he has this remote to call the bounty, I guess, hunters if there's ever trouble. But, and they got there pretty quick because they're already on Earth and they're already in the town.
Yeah.
But if they're not in the town and they're I'm the, all the way in the galaxy, how long is it going to take them? Is that remote really going to work that well? And how far does it work? Like it can work that far that they can reach.
Oh my God. When they were there,
but clearly
that was hilarious.
Well, but again, they're there. Like they're on, but like, okay, you're only going to push it if you're in like major trouble. Now you push it, you have to wait a couple hours, 10 days, like for this, for these guys to come there, you're dead by then. Like it's like, so I almost feel like it's kind of worthless.
It is. You know what? I just thought of how this movie could add it better. Again, not as smart, but I think it would have made more sense than just throwing the line of, oh, they're still on Earth. How about Grandma, which she already alluded to, thought it was the remote. She was looking for the remote, she reaches in the couch, finds this, hits this, unknowing that the critters were around. And then they just happen to show up at that time because of the mistake. Instead of, what we got in the beginning, I get why they did it, But the fact that grandma threw in that line, I thought it was a remote. It's like, wow, perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I know.
To have them, oh, we're getting a beacon from Bradley. Let's check him out. And then he's, you know, takes us 2 hours to get across it. Like something to give us like a timeline.
Right. But no, I know.
They blew through the door in no time and ruined Granny's house.
Without even like, did they know what was going on inside? So like, just because they pushed the remote. I mean, they really could have, the way that explosion. So like, why didn't they just why were they blowing it up, you know, without knowing what was going on? Like, yeah.
Okay.
They're not the greatest bounty hunters. The fact that the other guy is like a tag along, which
Charlie,
why is he a tag along? Why is he tagging along with them?
They like him. He does a good job. Remember the penis guy or the ball guy in the beginning? He goes, how's he doing? He's like, I got him myself.
Yeah, but he asks a lot of questions. He almost seems annoying to them, like, because they have no personality, the two aliens. But why? I mean, I don't remember the first movie, but clear, he was in the first movie. Why
he
is he
drunk
up there with
them? He was like the town drunk. He was like the town.
But why is? But why did he go up there with them?
Because he wanted to have like a purpose at the end of the movie. I don't know. I think they gave him a choice because I think he was a big thing at the end, if I can remember.
The first movie. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's in all the movies,
so,
I think.
So he probably got lucky in the first movie, you know, maybe saved the day. And these guys are like, wow, this guy's a hero. You know, we got to take him on our side and bring him to space with us. And then they bring him up there and realize he's just an idiot. And like, you know, like, so they thought they were getting Rambo, and they really got Eugene from Greece.
Or Dumbo. Yeah. Eugene from Greece.
Wait, Dumbo? The elephant?
No, I was just...
You said Dumbo.
Yeah. What did you say, Rambo?
I said Rambo. You said
Rambo,
Dumbo.
They rhyme, sort of. I was going for the rhyme there. But yeah, Eugene from Greece. But I love that grandma's like... Charlie, when Brad asked him how he's been, and he's like, I've been going through space, and he's like, the guys are great. He's like talking about like people he works with. These guys are great, man. And then his line was great. He said, Brad, I got to go where the cosmic winds blow me. Yeah.
Well, maybe cosmic winds is a girl in space.
Could you imagine that? That'd be a great Brad line with his corny jokes. If he was like, oh, I never met a girl named Cosmic Winds.
Well, you know, I feel like their relationship is very weird because he's, argument's sake, he's 14 or 15, which means he was 13, you know, barely a teenager in the first movie, hanging out with this older man who's a drunk. And the way Brad is like infatuated with him, like he's like hugging him and he's all over, like their relationship seems weird.
Yeah, it's a little off. Yeah, no, it's funny. I had, and not to be somber, but he passed away like pretty recently. I had a neighbor that was like, I think he was 20 years older than me. So when I was a kid, he was like, honestly, he was like what my age is now, sort of, in a way.
Okay.
And I remember being like 6 to like 13 until we moved. And he was like always hanging out. And he was like, hey, you want to do like a science experiment? He was like, because he was like home all the time. Like,
okay. So now, like you said, he's probably what your age was now. I mean, is now. Now imagine yourself doing that to kids younger. Like,
I don't know. My parents let me hang out with this guy. He's a good guy. Obviously, but
But that was, times are different back then. But like now as yourself at that age, like for instance, a couple years ago, I went to visit my fraternity, we went up there, and one of my fraternity brothers went with us, who was an idiot back then, who's still acting the same way. And like, you know, when we went on the campus, it just felt weird. Just even visiting the fraternity, it felt weird being there, you know, as a grown man going through this. So like, it's just weird, you know, when you start looking at things at your own age, like things that might've been different back then, but now it's just weird. It's awkward.
It's bizarre. But no, that's when I saw that, I saw myself and I'm like, oh my God, this is so bizarre.
Did you have bright red hair too?
I did not. No, I did not. Okay. But I just remember so many moments being like, oh man, he's getting drunk again. It was like entertainment for me as like a 10-year-old. And then when I was in high school, he'd buy me beer. He'd buy me Red Dog, whatever that beer was.
Oh my
God. But yeah, no,
Mad Dog?
Such a Mad Dog 2020. Yeah, I said 2020, but yeah, Mad Dog was like the those glass, the like bottle. Colored.
Yeah.
But Red Dog was a shitty beer that was like $14 for a 30 pack or something. You know, everybody's each putting five and everybody gets 10. Times are definitely changing. But so the restaurant, dude, and the Hungry Heifer. Oh, oh my God.
This
the
is
damage, I mean, that gets done there.
Oh, and like, but why? Like they're like, so I wonder, like, eating like real food, like they were eating burgers and all over, like they were making and then eating people and eating what were they doing there? Like, what was their purpose? Because they were just out of control. Like, you know, and because in the rest of the movie, they go on a rampage or trying to kill people. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to know, like, what's the thought behind a critter? Like, what's their purpose and what they're trying to do?
It seems like they eat everything. In the old guy's antique thing, they were eating, like, furniture.
That's what I mean. So, like, it doesn't matter.
Everything.
Everything. So like even at the restaurant, they were just going, was it like, were they on like a sugar rush? Because they were just going out of control there, you know, spraying like ketchup, like you said, the bald guy
says bitchin', and I love when the one falls and it's burning on the grill and the other one's like honestly, I would love more comic relief in this one, because I thought they were funny when they spoke. And I know if you use something too much, it's not as funny. And it was great because they waited for so long. But like the subtitles when they spoke, like the bitchin', when I saw that, I'm like, oh my God. So we know their language. Like, we understand that.
Well, that's what it is. The fact that they use subtitles is amazing. Right. That's again, you know, again, for this kind of movie, they were very creative with a lot of things. And that's very funny how they did, because they could have like done like a Ghoulies and had them speak English. But instead, they just gave them and then gave them subtitles, like, you know.
And they're like strategizing, because there's some at the Hungry Heifer. Then there's some at the newspaper, the one that's trying to break in through the back, because it shoots the dad, which we talked about earlier, when he got shot with the porcupine and he like passed out. But dude, they're thinking about shutting the town of 10 people down because they're chewing the dude when they're scaling the phone lines and the power lines, like that's great.
You know what? These critters are very smart. Like,
oh, they are.
Like, so how do they know all this stuff if they just hatched?
They just hatched
and they're like controlling the whole town and know how to strategize and know how to do all like automatically. Like, do they age like fast in like critter time? Like, you know,
maybe
like,
the more they eat, the smarter they get. But yeah, they know how to shut a town down, take out the telephone lines, block the roads. Like, they seriously, that one guy couldn't leave the town. Obviously, he could have got out of his Jeep and just hopped over the wood and ran. But there was like critters there, so I get that. But it's funny how they shut the town down.
So was electricity down like in the town? Or no? Because I only asked that because at the you know, when they were gathering all the weapons and when they went to the hardware store, they're running around with torches. Again, like Frankenstein. Like,
oh, so the power was out. That makes sense then. Yeah.
Well, in a movie like this, I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, if they were doing that purposely or just making it again, because everybody had, you know, a different weapon, which, you know, the whole hardware store, again, doesn't make sense either, because there's so many other weapons. There's so many other things they could have grabbed instead of rakes and, you know, like other things. That's, yeah. Okay. Plus, I didn't know they sell dynamite in hardware stores. And the best part is,
just buy dynamite. Like, no, in a,
and
yeah.
It's the old West dynamite. It's like, you know, it's the Acme. Long stick dynamites. Yeah. 100%. And we said that before. I forget what movie it was where they had dynamite. And I think we talked about it. Like, where do you get dynamite like that? Because I forget what movie it was.
Old stick of dynamite. I've never, I'm sure that has to have been a real thing because they use it so much, but it's just so silly looking. It's like a long stick of dynamite.
100%. So when you
wrapped
see it in a
up
movie,
and they write TNT on it.
It's ridiculous. But the fact that you could buy it at a hardware store.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay.
This is where we get Eddie Deason. He becomes he's like in a gimp outfit for a few movies. He's like, no change. And then,
that was so weird.
Then that's where we should have got to Freddy. We should have got when they, when, why was the cutout in the middle of the street? You know what? I just thought about that. Like, talk about not even like he was in a video store. It was in the middle of the street.
What was the, was it a store or was it just a wall?
Or maybe like, it was like a movie theater, but there was, we didn't see like a marquee.
Oh, you didn't see
anything.
A theater, right? So it just looked like
it was
out a window.
It was just random. It was a cutout. It was a cardboard cutout stand up. Yeah.
So they absolutely missed the mark. Even if like he was Freddy for a second and then switched to something else, that would have been perfect. Like, you know, like, and just let him hear like Freddy go, oh no. You know, like,
yeah,
but no.
One of those.
Ugh.
Would have loved that. But then Charlie was smart enough. He's like, man, I want the boob girl back. Because then he chooses that photo again to bring her back for that. And I was like,
where was he holding that magazine the whole time?
I'm holding for safekeeping, guys. It's my magazine now.
Okay. Well, imagine he tried to do that, but the pages were stuck together.
Yes.
And he couldn't get to them.
And then it was somebody else that he had. It was like some ad, random ad, like Robert Goulet selling like, cologne.
Love how you use Robert Goulet of all the names you're going
to
pick.
I was trying to think of the most random one. That was the first thing that popped up.
That's a good one. That's a good random, you know, that's definitely a good one.
Yeah. He probably had cologne back in the day. I can see Goulet.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Like really like green, greenish looking color.
Do you think Goulet is his real name?
I hope not. Okay. Goulet. It's probably Robert Goulet.
It's probably Robert Goldblum. You're like, you know, and it's just like Goldstein. And he's like, oh.
I can't even say it now because we just said Goulet. So now we got the bounty hunter has the blank face, the other guy, which to me made that whole, the change of face thing was funny. But then when he had no face for a while, it was like, okay, it was like at the end, we figure out like what that was setting up for. But how about the girl? So they're at the church and the security guard who should be fired.
Okay. One security guard outside, like for this whole thing. And
but
like,
why leave? You know, he's leaving. I know. He's going towards a book. He's going towards something that the little creature can hide behind. So he's setting himself up to die.
Okay. Not for nothing, though. How does he get that job? Like, do you want to be the security guard for what's going on? Like, yeah. So, like, I wonder, like, how'd they vote to get? They probably did one of those where, all right, listen, one of you step forward and they all line up and then they all step backwards. And he was so, like, they should have shown something like that. Like, how did he get picked? You know,
yeah, that'd been really funny. Holy shit, dude. So,
but
hilarious.
The fact that like the girl's riding around in a tricycle, which where'd she get
from? Oh my god, the fact that I was dying laughing when she was out of the church and the guy was like, hey, get back in. And you saw like the ramp when we saw her just like, she was almost as if she was in a car that had no brakes.
100%.
She was screaming going down the hill.
But why is she still on the tricycle? Like, wouldn't she get off and run? Like, wouldn't you be able to go faster than
a
tricycle?
Put your feet down
like
and stop and get off.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's, yeah. But where'd she get it from? She was at church.
She
where was
the
tricycle?
To church.
Okay.
It's the only way we can keep her in. She's going doing circles around the the whole time. But who saves the day? Who's back?
And you know what? I'm trying to think of. Oh, he did have. I'm sorry. He had a shotgun with him, right? Was it a shotgun that he had, or he had some?
I thought he had like a bigger rifle, bigger like pin gun, right?
Okay.
But wasn't it a little weird that he showing how bitter he was that he got let go as being the sheriff and not voted because he wore a sheriff outfit? Little weird. So he knows, oh my god, the critters are back, people are dying, but man, I gotta change.
Not only that, like, he got fired, don't you return the sheriff's outfit? because if it because technically then you can pretend you're a sheriff and just go around pretend like, you know, like in other
well, I guess so, like, there are only 10 people in town, they're like, all right,
it's not gonna fit anybody else. They know it's not gonna, he's like the fattest guy there, so it's not going to fit anybody else. So, like, all
the
right,
new guy, going. Yeah, it looked like he, you know, shrunk. He looked like a little kid wearing it.
Yeah.
But man, the fact,
you know what? That is funny, though, that he put it on. That I didn't even think about that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, just the fact that it's weird anyway, but the thing of, like, wasting time to get dressed in a particular thing to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The critters that, so this is, again, now, like, whenever we do this, when it's a movie that has, there's open for interpretation, like, of rules. Now, like, the heat thing makes even more sense, but the fact that they were all together, that was so weird. It was almost like they were magnetic.
Well, you mean having a meeting? You mean when they were having a meeting in a field?
Yes.
I wished we had subtitles for that. I wanted to hear what they were talking about.
A speech. Because
they clearly, it was. Do you think it was like a Rudy speech? Like they were like, all right, listen, we're gonna go in there and we're gonna take them on. Like what kind of speech? We're like, what was going on? Because they literally were like, you can hear like a little chattering and like they were yeah. just all like, so that was like a moment where subtitles could have came in a little bit again, like just to hear a little bit about what they're going to do. Like what was their plan?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. No, it's like one of those things. It's like, man, it'd be great if there was more, but then like the less was funny. Cause I totally like the bitching thing to me.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be so random.
It was so random.
It was one off. But when you had him say a live meat, right? Live meat was a line, and then it said cheeseburgers.
Well, maybe it's the only three words they know.
Maybe. Kitchen,
cheeseburger, live and meat.
That bitchin' dude, I want that on a shirt so bad. Just the subtitle of him looking at himself in the toaster. It wasn't like a mirror. I think it was like a toaster or something, a shiny metal like kitchen utensil. It was so hilarious, man.
Amazing.
Okay. But yeah, nobody had faith in Charlie because they said, like, not you, the town drunk, or the no-faced man from outer space. I think that's the sheriff says to all of them. But the critters, man, again, the eating might be something against them bigger because they're like eating all the cows in the field. So then Brad somehow has the idea to get them into the hamburger plant, which was so random to me.
Okay. First of all, they have one restaurant in town which cooks a lot of meat. How many cows do they have in this town to make that restaurant survive and have all that meat and then still have cows left over for the critters to eat? So like, I mean, like, cause it's all they have is meat in this town. So
yeah,
they must have a lot of cows. Okay.
I was laughing because whatever that place really was, it was like on the fence. They had like the corniest. I'm trying, man, I wish I should have taken a screenshot of it. It was like such a corny thing. And it's a like hamburger plant and like the biggest letters, kind of like the beer can saying beer. It was like hamburger plant on the side.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of effort into that marketing.
God. But I did love the montage here. The montage was so great of them shoving the sticks of dynamite into everything. It was like
everything that could hold it. They were it was so ridiculous.
And I don't know if you noticed the one. It was like mostly shoving the dynamite in, but the one was they had the dynamite on the table, and all the guy did was sprinkle French fries over it. God, I don't know why that part killed me.
So my question is though, but why'd they have to hide the dynamite?
Like, I don't know. Like, just get them there and blow it up, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it wasn't there like, was there hay there and stuff? Like they could have just hit it like under, like,
I know.
Like really, like they're like making it look like, you know, they're gonna, first of all, these are critters. They're probably gonna eat it. Like they're not gonna know what it is. They're just gonna eat whatever's in there. Like they put it's almost like they spent way too much time for this montage. Like, you know, because montage obviously cut down the actual time of things going on in there. And they wasted a lot of time doing that. Yeah. Meanwhile, the critters are still talking. Like, what if they still have their meeting? Because they had enough time to do the montage while they're meeting.
Yeah. And this is when everybody thought that at this point in the church, they're like, it's working, because they see them start going towards, which I don't know how that, like, it was already a hamburger plant. So them putting out dynamite and the, like, ripping open bags of food makes them smell it from that far away, but they were going, and that's when they stopped and said live meat. And they were getting followed by everybody with the torches, and then they turned back. I thought that was so funny. Like, the people were like, oh, they're coming towards us. And start running away.
Well,
and some, you know, people, you said,
Oh, yeah.
Well, you said the budget was $4 million. Think about all the food that was wasted in that montage.
There was a lot of food wasted.
There was a lot of food. So, like that's a like they could have easily done that scene in such a cheaper way than doing all the food. Like, it was just like wasted, tons of wasted food.
Again, some of the special effects I think are so cool. When the guy running falls and the critter ball goes on top of him, and half his body's gone, just the back out. I thought that was so cool. Like, it looked good.
What do they bite, like piranha? Like, and they just and they like, because think about how long, like, they really, like, they skin so fast when they get across you
in, like, seconds and perfectly, not like bite marks. No, somehow they fillet it perfectly. They have a big ninja sword and they
Who do you think controls the ball when they're in a ball? Like, how does that? How
the
does
big the guy? I guess like a Ouija board, right? You all have to work together.
So, like, again, like, I would love to hear, again, them speaking, like, all right, to the left, you know, like, and hear them, like, moving. Because, like, again, if they're all combining, like, you know, all together like that, I'm just curious, like, how that would work for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Or do they just act as one brain when they're like that, and they could just...
Maybe they just have, like, synergy when they're all together like that, but just watching them roll at people, and the sheriff, like, oh, shit, they're coming towards us. Oh my god! And then
I wish we saw more of the ball, though. It didn't last as long as I was hoping.
It should have been going through stuff.
The whole battle with them didn't last long.
It didn't.
Like, I feel like it was a very quick kind of So
okay. I just think they're smart with that, because the critters, the one knock I always had on them was it was basically like I guess sort of gremlins too. Because they're puppets, they have to be in one spot.
Yep.
And then when they are on somebody, like, they're glued on, or the actor's holding it on them. Like, when the antique guy died, it was like all they were they were just like glued onto his feet, glued onto his shirt, and he just screamed and like shook around. So, yeah, God.
Well, so while this is going on, the people from the church are now outside watching, and they're letting the kids outside watch also.
To watch too. Watch like, people get mutilated.
Like, they're watching people die and get mutilated. Like, wouldn't you keep them inside? Like, all right, all the kids, like, in the back of the church, under the table, under whatever, and just, like, you know, like, no. Not knowing that any of the kids could just run off at any moment also.
Yeah, because later the critters want to go back there, because remember the line of, like, oh, they're going to the church. The children. That's like one of the lines in this. But dude, the fact that the big critter says and it's like cheeseburger and then ... no bones. That's a selling point, because these critters that don't eat the bones for the most part, like, they just skin and eat.
You're right. They skin. They like the outside. Right.
So maybe that's why they're like, man, we don't have to worry about not eating through the bones or something.
Oh, they're worried about eating bones, but they have no problem eating chairs and everything else. But the bones, forget about it. Yeah, okay.
Oh, man, dude. Jesus. But they're eating, man. They get up there. They get up to the factory, and they're eating everything they can. Every single thing. And... again, they do that swerve of like, oh, movie's over, because Brad gets a little bit of a smooch. Big explosions go off. But nope. No, we're not close.
We're not close. And again, the Brad smooch, it did not seem like there's no way she's hooking up with him. There's no way. There's no way.
That was just like a very like, meh. I'll give you a little smooch.
But still,
that's it.
Okay. Okay.
But man, then we get the flint. Oh my god, the explosion and the critter ball again that is going after the people. So it's like, we got that critter ball twice, right? Or did we only get it after? It was only one time.
We got it after the explosion.
Only the factories when they put the other.
Right. So we were a little behind ahead. We got it after, because that's how they came out, was in the ball. Maybe they were stuck together because of the explosion.
Maybe it looked like they were holding hands together. Like, you didn't see their hands. I know you were talking about it earlier.
Right, it's,
like,
yeah,
they were doing something. They were connected somehow.
Somehow
they linked up from that. But I love that Megan was such a badass. She was like, let's get in the truck. And she's ramming into this ball. Like, I wonder, that must have been a cool effect, because obviously that had to be like real. That was practical. No like miniature involved. It just looks so good. I love that Brad. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, the thing just ate the door. And he was like kind of leaning out. I'm like,
I know.
Your head's going to be gone. And
you have a bunch of men in town and you're letting this teenage girl and this middle school kid take on the task of getting rid of this thing.
Yeah. They should be the sheriff. They should win the sheriff.
He should. He should. she should be sheriff.
Yeah. That's well, we learned you can become sheriff. I think if you find the star, you become sheriff. Because in the third movie, if he's sheriff,
gosh. Who Brown?
Charlie.
Is he in
all of them. Charlie's in all of them, not Brad. I don't think Brad's in all of them, but Charlie's definitely, when I just looked up Leo before to confirm which one he was in, he's in three. But
that's amazing.
It'd be good to get him, man. I don't know if he's around.
Who, Leo?
He is. An important actor in the series, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
Charlie.
Okay. All right. But, we'll see.
But it flips the truck.
My guess is he's also possible he's not alive anymore, Charlie.
Oh, don't say that.
Okay.
Well, it is from a long time. I guess that's a good.
It is 30 years ago.
Good guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see.
But man, she's ramming the critter ball off the road, and then she flips her truck. I'm like, oh my god, dude, this is like, I was not expecting anything like that. I really didn't even know what to expect, and if you would have gave me so many scenarios, I wouldn't have thought that Charlie went into the spaceship. And he crashed it into the critter ball. That would not be on my bingo card for this movie because there's no way I thought that was possible.
Okay, not only that, there's no way that Charlie knows how to fly that thing. So fly it enough that he can aim it exactly to where the critter ball is. There's no way he knows how to do it. I mean, he had questions throughout the whole movie about everything. You're going to tell me he somehow was able to go in that spaceship and fly it? And then,
maybe from all of his questions, he was able to figure out.
Okay.
But really didn't think. Well, I was so shocked when the end scene. Because the thing I wrote about, like at the time, when you watch these movies, we write our notes, not like we go back and edit stuff. Oh, earlier, now that it makes sense. But like I wrote down, like, was there space weapons he could have used? There must have been like a space like rocket launcher or space grenade, something. No, he had to crash into it.
Yeah. You know what? The bounty hunters. Well, they had that big weapon that blew up the house.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they use that?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Charlie didn't know how to use it or something. And then the other Ugg, the other.
Wait,
bounty hunter,
where was Ugg during this time?
Just Ugg couldn't do anything. For some reason, I guess when you have no face, you can't operate.
So how about the other one? Was he?
Died.
Where was
the girl died?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, the girl bounty hunter went into an alleyway for some reason, got lured, and got eaten
off. Right. Oh, because the guy tripped over the body early in that scene and somehow didn't see a dead body laying over that he tripped on.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah. How bad
he tripped.
Is that?
Right, I mean, like, you know, like, I get it if you're, like, tripping, like, a toy truck and you're not paying attention, but this is a dead body. How do you trip over a dead body?
I know. All you have to do is look down. And essentially, you know these things are critters, so you should be looking at the ground, and you missed that?
Yeah.
Okay. Not good.
Well, but look down. You could probably still look up and still see, from a distance, see a dead
or
body
smell
on the floor.
Or just, like, some presence of knowing that there's something.
Yeah,
there's something not right here. But yeah, Ugg turns in because Ugg said earlier, I think Charlie like communicated it, but like Ugg would only turn into something that gave it like meaning or something, which makes it over 0% because the other one can turn into a Playboy model. But this one has to have a meaning or something.
I turned into Eugene also. So like, so that makes sense. You would think it would be the same thing. So, okay.
New rules. They added new rules at the end. But yeah, turned into Charlie. I was like, oh, this is great. You have Megan and Brad holding hands. And then they're like awkwardly, really weird because the sheriff's like, you going to kiss her so this bus can go? And I'm like, man, you're leaving already? Like all this stuff happened. And wait, did the sheriff even? Oh, no, the sheriff gets off the bus after that.
He got off the bus, but did she go with him or no?
No, no, she stayed home. We saw her watch the bus go.
So that was like a 2-day fling, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. But then Charlie shows up out of nowhere. They're like, Charlie? They have like a little moment, and the fact
again, the fascination with Charlie, like it, yeah. Like no one else, no other adult there, only the kid.
Weird. It would have been awkward the next day, like when Charlie got he walked in dressed as the sheriff. Like, whoa, dude, whoa, that's not how it works. You just don't get the star from the sheriff that we let go 2 years ago and think that you're in charge now. But that was like a kind of cool thing. Just like,
well,
hey,
you know, it's funny. Not only did the sheriff get kicked out as a sheriff, but he also looked like he got kicked out of town because he was living in a trailer outside of town.
Outside of town, yeah.
So he lost his job and his home.
Oh my God. So that was Critters 2, the rare bird that is an Easter sequel. Jamie, would you recommend someone check this out?
You know, it's a tough call because I mean the movie really isn't good. But again, if you like these 80s, like, you know, like we talked about, you know, the Gremlins and the Ghoulies and all that, I would probably say watch the first one first because maybe you'll have a better understanding. But it's a tough call. You have to like these kind of movies to watch it. So if you're into those 80s silly horror comedy campy movies, then watch it. But if you're not, you're not going to like it.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. Like I obviously love these movies, but I think what sets this one apart from other like silly horror movies, I think like the town, like there was like this really hokey thing when you watched it, the music, like the score for the movie. I don't know. It was like this real, you were like dropped in. You felt like you were watching like an old show in a way.
100%. And just the way everything looked, like it was, again, it was cheap, cheesy, you know, like, but like I said, but it wasn't slow. Like you're like it, the movie moves, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, again, you go into it knowing that you're going to watch, like, you know, there's a lot of movies that you could just go to Pluto. You know, go on Pluto and you'll find all these like campy movies. And there are funny moments that, you know, I think you would like. I just think there's an audience for this type of movie. And I just think you have to be part of that audience that likes these movies because the outside audience is not going to like it. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, no, 100%. But it's an Easter sequel, so that's cool to have that under our belt.
That is true. You can make this a tradition now, and families can gather around the TV,
do the eggs while you watch the movie.
How many Easter options do you have? You know, so
not many. Not, I guess, Passion of the Christ. Right?
That's a family movie.
But is there? I guess like. What's the ones they did him in the last few years with Russell Brand as the voice of the bunny? Peter Rabbit?
It's not like an Easter movie. What? Because it's a rabbit? That means so then Donnie Darko is also an Easter movie then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Reading Playboy, Easter tradition. But no, it's like, it's very weird. It's one of those movies that you don't, like, Easter is not referenced in like a ton of stuff. Movie-wise,
is there like you know what? There's got to be a horror movie out there about the Easter Bunny.
I was thinking about that when I was walking out. I'm wearing, if you're listening, I have like just the bunny ears on. There has to be a horror movie of somebody in Easter outfit killing.
Yeah, I'm gonna do research on that because I mean we now have Winnie the Pooh as a horror movie, so like there's got to be an Easter Bunny horror movie. All right, we're gonna have to do research on that.
All right, I like it. And so that was Critters 2. Like Jamie said, your new Easter tradition. With your family. And next up is going to be a sci-fi movie that I haven't seen. I watch clips of it because whenever I interview somebody, I always like to watch, you know, a little bit of everything they worked on. But I don't like, if I've never seen it before, to watch the whole thing because I still want to have those fresh eyes when me and Jamie talk about it because I've known he's never seen it. And what's funny, the only reason we ever thought of this movie was the original Guyver had a former guest on the podcast who sadly passed away last year, Peter Spellos, and it also had J.J. Walker. So it was a weird cast. And I remember Peter told me, like, such a cult following has. Same thing with with this one and this one of the stars, Kathy Christopherson, it was really wild because just when I was connecting with her, it was the 30th anniversary. So out in LA, I think it was in Santa Monica. They did a screening. Some of the cast got back together. So it was a really cool moment for her because that was a big movie. And that was so fascinating about her career is like early on, she's on like The Murder, She Wrote. Great story about being on Coach, Craig T. Nelson. Really, really good stuff. Step by Step. And then boom, she goes from being like girl on bus. And then she's the star of a movie. She plays Corey. She did a lot of cool research for that role. We talked about her coming up in Chicago, meeting Michael Madsen, him getting her to a movie, just a lot of cool stuff. And her mom was visiting, her 93-year-old mom. So I interviewed her mom for like 5 minutes about her daughter, you know, uprooting after graduating college and going out to Hollywood. So that's amazing. It was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, so that'll be good. So that'll be next week. And then Guyver 2, which should be a fun one to talk about because it's sneaky that I don't believe everything with Rotten Tomatoes because there's so many movies that we both love that gets terrible scores, movies that we hate that have high scores. So it's interesting because I think this one's like right at 50%. So yeah, so okay. It'd be a lot of fun. So don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast, follow us on all social media at Sequels Only, and don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.